You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text no matter where you are listening around the state, around the country. 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. You can also leave us a voice note.
I know, I was just thinking that, Jane. Go to the Civic Media app that you already have on your phone or device. Da-doy. If you don't, go download
you should
it.
Get it.
It's free. Yeah. But there's great features in there, including customizing your newsfeed, customizing your favorite radio station, but also contacting us. You can contact us through the app with calling,
yep,
texting, or now with voice note.
Pretty nice.
You click that voice note button, you record a message like you may have done for your friends on text, and then you send it to us. We get it. We listen to it. We make sure it's A, in context, and B, FCC compliant. And if it works, we'll play it on the air.
Yeah.
Just remember to tell us your first name, where you're listening to, where you're listening from, and what station you're listening to. We'd love to hear from you. Send us a voice note. It's really fun. It's right there on your app. If it's not there, you're going to have to update your app and make sure it's the most recent
yep,
version of it. But yeah, that's a great way to do that. And also, Jane, using that app is the only way you can participate in Free Ticket Giveaway Fridays.
Yep. Tomorrow, you have a chance to pick up a 4-pack of tickets to see our Milwaukee Brewers, and you have 5 chances to enter, starting with Pat Kreitlow from 6 to 9, then our show 9 to 11, Tom Hartman 11 to 2, Todd Alba 2 to 4, and Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. Tomorrow, we will all have a different keyword for you to text in, and then you'll be in the running again for those really good tickets to see the Milwaukee Brewers 4-pack.
Yeah.
On the club level.
Club level.
Club level.
Squishy, comfy seats.
Yeah, they're very nice. Yeah, so download the app in case you haven't done that yet. Also, just a reminder, coming up on Maggie Dawn today, she's going to be diving into what no tax on tips really means,
yeah,
for people in Wisconsin who are in the service industry and also for restaurant owners. So join Maggie later on this afternoon between 4 and 6 as she talks to Milwaukee chef Greg Leon to talk about the no taxes on tips. We have Brittany Merlot coming up in just a little bit. Lots of fans of Brittany's.
She's the multi-award-winning.
She is multi-award-winning.
We just love her. She's just great.
Wow, we have some warmer weather, I understand, coming our way. So Brittany's going to break that down. Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Radcliffe will be here after 10:35 to talk all things sports. And we'll wrap up the show, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Header for Cheddar edition. You found it. My husband found it.
Yeah.
He was like, you got to do this. You got to do this.
Yeah.
There's a wonderful video element involved.
Well, you and I have different definitions of the word wonderful, because I look at it as quite disturbing.
Yeah. You're going to go, ow.
Yeah.
So stick around for the Header for Cheddar Tisbet coming up around 10:51. Going to spend a little time on, he needs suggestions.
Yeah.
What's he going to do? Elon Musk from the BBC, leaving the White House.
Oh, we hardly knew the E.
But Doge will continue.
Oh, darn it.
Elon Musk says he's leaving the Trump administration after leading Doge to slash the size of the U.S. government and cut thousands and thousands of federal jobs. In a post on what used to be Twitter, Elon thanked Trump for the opportunity to run Doge. They started offboarding him as a special government employee on Wednesday night. He's not necessarily leaving on the best of notes because he has criticized the budget bill that was just passed by the House, which is kind of unusual for him.
Yeah.
He says he's disappointed with the budget bill, which proposes multi-trillion dollar tax breaks for the wealthy and a boost to defense spending. But we thought we'd just spend a little time I'm suggesting that hobbies that Elon could look into.
Mm-hmm.
He needs something to do. I mean, I know he's got SpaceX and I know he's got Tesla and all those things that he'll go back to ruining. But in the interim, he's got time on his hands.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also want to make sure that we, you know, a lot of people, when they leave a job or a project, they want to have a legacy. And I want to make sure we preserve his legacy and his work with Doge, which was doing next to nothing, if not completely ruining many departments.
Many lives.
Really saving no money whatsoever.
No, he really hasn't.
No.
And the long list of frauds who have been defaulting our government.
Criminals.
We're waiting for all these trials to start because fraud is a crime. So if you found all these instances of fraud, I would think these people would be brought to justice.
Don't let Elon put the chainsaw down, take off his hat, salute the camera, and walk off into the sunset. No. Remember that what he has done to this country is irreparable. And if it's going to be fixed, it will take a long time. But you're right. He's leaving the government. We got to get him a parting gift, maybe a nice watch, and then a list of things he can do with his time.
Yeah, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. What's a good hobby for Elon Musk to pick up now that he is leaving the government? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, hobbies for Elon.
Well, but one thing I really thought of was, like, he's a businessman. He's a big, beautiful, big brain businessman,
right?
Super genius Tony Stark of the modern day. When you have a business, like, one of the things you want to do is expand. So I thought maybe, like, Doge Venezuela, Doge Russia. Just putting Doge,
expanding
the Doge brand to a global sensation, to really take that chainsaw to a worldwide platform and slash and burn all of their budgets. Because all the work he's doing, why not just keep going?
See, I think he needs something outside of business
to
occupy his mind.
Oh.
You know, we all need something to get us out of the daily grind, whatever. I like watching birds.
You
this
love
makes
watching
me happy.
Birds? Yeah, yeah.
This gives me, you know, joy. So that's what I do. But I'm thinking, as I was thinking about some of the things I used to do as a kid when we would go to summer school, decoupage.
Decoupage.
It's not, I mean, nobody talks about decoupage anymore.
Get him a can of hodgepodge and just be like, hey.
And a favorite picture of one of his 47 children, and he can put it on a nice piece of wood and then shine it up and hang it.
And you don't even have to put the name of the mom, because I know you don't remember. Just put mother. I think, oh my gosh, I could see Elon doing decoupage. Now, he is the richest man on earth.
He is.
By stock standards, I don't think.
Well, he's worth a lot on paper.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Ones and zeros, he's flush with cash. So maybe he needs to up that game. Maybe, and he can call a former senator of Utah, Mitt Romney, about this. Dressage.
Oh, the fancy horse thing.
The art of fancy horse dance. I wish I had like a clip-clop sound right now, but just like, you know, just.
I like. Ooh, nice.
The art of fancy horse dance.
Good reason to watch the live stream.
Thank you very much.
Can you do that once more? Nice. That was kind of a flamenco.
Yeah, exactly.
There. I like that. Dressage, I think, would be a good thing. He can't be afraid of horses, though.
It would be self-driving horses, though. It would be like they'd be doing the dressage on there. There'd be nobody actually on the horses. It would just be like, and they're like, oh my gosh, it's like Tesla horses.
Casper from Madison, listening on WAUK, says Elon should go into lumberjacking. Not a terrible idea.
I would pay money to see him try to lumberjack.
Listen,
he loves chainsaws.
He does love. He does love chainsaws.
Loves chainsaws.
So he might just be. That might be just a natural for him.
I agree.
A listener on WGBW says, "How about teaching himself empathy?"
That's a long course.
That's going to be a really, really, really long course.
We don't have that kind of time on our hands.
He should take up ballooning. He has enough hot air to fly it around the world all by himself.
Hey-oh!
855-752-4842. We're looking out for Elon. Just suggesting some, you know, hobbies he could pick up now that he's leaving the Trump administration. At the same time, Texas Senator Ted Cruz, who should know about this, Ted Cruz begs Americans to stop being so nasty to Elon Musk.
Oh, stop being so mean to my Elon friend.
There are people who have been in government who have called Ted Cruz terrible things.
Some of them are his kids. What?
People who have roomed with him, people who have worked with him. So Ted Cruz knows what it's like to not be liked.
He's currently,
I guess, is my point.
Currently, right now, celebrating his like 3,000th day of not being liked. He's an expert in this field.
Ted Cruz is shocked by the backlash against Doge and Elon Musk, saying instead Americans should be expressing deep gratitude and chanting, thank you, thank you, thank you.
No.
No.
I'm not going to do that.
I don't think so.
That's weird. That's like seeing your teacher show up to a party and be like, hey, kids. Hey, fellow kids. Let's party. Don't tell us what to do. Just leave us alone, Ted Cruz. Go to Florida. Go to Cancun. Do something else.
And don't come back.
Don't come back.
Ted Cruz says Elon came and spent 4 months working for the American people free of charge. Didn't collect a salary. Made nothing.
Okay,
just a couple little side notes to that.
Are you about to do your own research?
I might do a little of my own research. Elon has made billions and billions in government contracts.
Yes. Yes.
Lots and lots and lots of money.
Between SpaceX and Starlink alone, yes, he has made so much money.
Donald Trump had a used car lot on the White House lawn for Elon Musk's Teslas.
It's pronounced Teslas.
That too. But he made nothing. He didn't collect a salary. There was no return for Elon in this at all. It's not like the Trump administration is going to other governments and saying, let's make a deal on tariffs. And, oh, by the way, you have to use X's AI in order to get this deal done. That's not happening at all.
This is like when people say, well, Donald Trump's a good man. He doesn't take a salary from his presidential job. Yeah, because he doesn't have to. That's not making me like... That doesn't mean cry patriotic tears for him. It's Elon has enriched himself
big time
in other. Yeah. He's while true what Ted is saying, as far as he didn't collect a government issued paycheck.
Right.
That paycheck pales in comparison many thousands of times over what he has made off our backs.
Yep.
And who knows what other kickbacks he will get for Doge. Because there's no contract, there's no deal there, there's nothing that states to the people, here's what Doge will do. It's just, hey, he's going to come in and you might have a job tomorrow, but we don't know. I got to go.
And we might fire you, and then, I don't know, we might bring you back.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Jeff from Caledonia gets the last word on this, trying to come up with, hobbies for Elon to spend a little time on. How about raising chickens?
There you go.
Why not?
I mean...
He'll raise the best chickens.
He'll raise the absolute greatest chickens in the world.
They'll be the smartest chickens.
And then you can put them, maybe have a chicken taco. See what I did there? Taco reference. Aha, because they're all cowards. All right.
That went over well.
I am a funny person.
We have a break coming up, and then when we return, we will lighten things up for the rest of the show. Brittany Merlot will be here with a little weather and wine. Find out what's coming up for the next couple of days across Wisconsin. We'll talk all things sports with the Journal Sentinel's J.R. Radcliffe after the 10:30 news. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream, on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. She joins us every Thursday at this time for a little weather and wine. Civic Media's multi-award-winning meteorologist, Brittany Merlot, is here. Good morning, Brittany. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing fantastic. How are you guys?
We are wonderful. I thought the weather over the weekend, that was perfect. For me, I would say a little, 7 degrees warmer would have been a little, would have been, I know.
I love how you did that. It was perfect. Not perfect.
Except for the 7 degrees. It could have been just a scooch because the wind was still cold. But this is the time of year when we can still sit outside. There are no bugs. But it's going to be warming up because I know there are a lot of folks who are looking for warmer weather.
Yeah. Those people who want that summer, that heat, that humidity, that Florida weather to get here to Wisconsin. Well, it's on its way.
It's coming.
Your wish.
So what are we expecting? When's that going to happen?
Yeah, so we're already looking at, well, today, a little bit warmer. We're going to get even better by tomorrow. We're going to be in the mid-70s all across the state. We'll put that on repeat for Saturday. Now, we do have chances of some scattered showers and storms popping up because with the summer weather, that's usually the case, sure. Right? Right in those afternoon hours. So that's possible today, tomorrow, smaller chances on Saturday, possibly Saturday, but then that heat and humidity really starts to seep in. You're going to start to feel it on Sunday. Dew points are going to hit the mid-60s. I like to describe dew points with moisture in the air, right? So 50s feels fine. 60s is getting sticky. Mm-hmm. 70s is uncomfortable
when
for most
is
people.
We're melting, yes.
What's the word you like to use? You like to use a certain word when the dew point gets real bad.
Oh, do I? Moist, yeah. Sticky, terrible, gross. I don't know.
Oppressive.
Oppressive, yes.
Like you walk that outside word. And you're like, oh.
But you can really tell the difference when you go from a dew point in the 50s to the upper 60s. You can.
Yeah.
The air feels thicker.
Yeah.
It sure does. And you start to sweat sooner than you'd think because the air around you is moist. So that's why we're not cooling off as fast when these dew points get as high. So we're going to start to see that Sunday, probably west in the state. Monday, for sure, south in the state. Tuesday, widespread, and areas south are going to start to hit those 70-degree dew points.
Ooh.
And then, finally, a cold front pushes through on Wednesday, but it's going to bring some heavy rainfall, chances for storms. I mean, we're looking at 1 to 3 inches of rain possible Wednesday next week.
Wow.
Where exactly in the state will that, like, the major accumulation of rain be happening? Is that statewide, or is that one particular region?
Statewide, 1 inch for sure. 3 inches right now looks to target more north central, but of course that can change as the storm actually progresses through. But that'll be Wednesday. So a damp, dark, dreary Wednesday, rain going through, temperatures fall back down to the 60s, but we do rebound right after that, back into those low to mid 70s, creeping into the 80s. I mean, some places could hit 90. So it's really cranking up here.
This is Wisconsin.
It is.
If you've lived here for more than 2 years, you pressed accept on the terms and conditions. We shouldn't be shocked. Be prepared. Put some shorts in the car because God knows I'm...
And a parka.
A parka, some shorts, and an umbrella. Who knows? But yeah, that's the thing is like I'm now starting to think, oh God, is it now becoming permanent shorts weather for me?
Well, and now I'm thinking about the air conditioning is going to go on and then it's going to stay on.
Yeah.
Or at least I'll have it on from Sunday until Wednesday, and then Wednesday it's going to cool off, and I'll turn it off, and then it's going to be back and forth and back and forth for a little bit.
It sure is. Yes, it is. So make sure that AC is working. If it's not, get a fan, have your backup, get those plans ready and in place. Get a bunch of water in the house, too, if you don't already. Got to stay super hydrated, more than you think, when these conditions hit us. So I'm excited, though. Summer is here.
I know.
Meteorological start on Sunday. We officially flip the books. What is it? The summer solstice is on the 20th, the longest day of the year, the most sunlight. I'm enjoying the longer days. Yeah.
Brittany Merlo is here for a little weather and wine. In the time that we have left, Brittany, let's talk about the NOAA has come out with its hurricane forecast.
Yes, they did. And it's not looking too good.
No.
So we're not in an El Nino. So we're not in a La Nina. We're in this end zone neutral pattern, which means the water in the ocean is still super warm, well above average, and the trade winds are weaker. So hurricanes can form a lot easier because these winds aren't tearing it apart and breaking it up, and it's got the warm water as fuel. And they came out with the fact that the monsoon season over in Africa is going to be higher. That's where the hurricanes start.
Wow.
So storms are going to be firing up off of Africa, moving into that zone, building, brewing. And of course, chances for us much, much, much more higher. So they're going with a 60% chance of above normal season. They're thinking about 13 to 19 named storms, which means winds of about 39 mile per hour plus. Of those, 6 to 10, they think are going to become hurricanes with 74 mile per hour winds or stronger. And about 3 to 5 major hurricanes, category 3, 4, 5, with 111 plus winds.
Oh,
and they have about a 70% confidence with this forecast.
Is this an increase from last year? Do you know?
I think it's like a storm or two increase, but it's pretty much on par
with what we've seen before.
We were in El Nino last year. So to have it a little bit more increased this year makes sense with those weaker winds, the trade winds.
Well, I feel for those folks who are in the line of these things. And even when I think about Western North Carolina, which was not in the track of a hurricane, and they got creamed because there are other ramifications from these storms when they hit landfall. So hopefully everybody's going to start prepping for this.
Well, and one of the things you said before we go, Brittany, is that as the climate changes, the trajectory of things change. Wisconsin's becoming more and more a part of Tornado Alley. These natural disasters are taking different directions. So it's not to sound callous or cold, but this is something we're going to have to become used to, is at least the unpredictability.
Brittany Merlot joins us every week at this time for a little weather and wine. She is Civic Media's multi-award-winning meteorologist. Thank you so much, Brittany. We will see you next week. News is coming up next, and then all things sports with the Journal Sentinel's J.R. Radcliffe. That's on the way. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvitini on the board, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Wrapping up your day later on from 6 to 8 p.m. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. He's going to be talking to you about the popcorn pick of the week.
Okay.
Something you want to watch.
Okay.
It's always good. And then he's going to speak with author Laura Enright at 7:20. So join Pete Schwabba. It's really a great way to unwind.
Yes.
After you have dinner and you're looking for something to just relax with.
It's like 2 hours of audio sorbet.
It is. Exactly. 6 to 8 p.m. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Check it out. He joins us every other Thursday, Gesundheit, to talk all things sports. J.R. Radcliffe is here from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Good morning, J.R. How are you doing?
Hey, how are you guys? I'm doing great.
We are good. We are good. Greg had to step out. He's having a sneezing attack. This happens. Well, we're going to start off and talk about the Brewers a little bit. They had two big walk-off wins the last games.
Back-to-back walk-off wins against the Boston Red Sox, who were in town. A pretty, you know, one of the I guess premier franchises in Major League Baseball, came to American Family Field, and the Brewers have now won four straight. They got a walk-off grand slam from Christian Yelich on Tuesday night, which was very exciting. He actually had doubled against a left-hander, which he hadn't done all season. He had not had any extra base hits against a left-handed pitcher all season. He doubles in the ninth and ends up scoring to tie the game at one. And then later in the 10th, he hits the walk-off grand slam. Very majestic, very fun. And then the Brewers followed it up. They also had to rally back from a late deficit because they went down in extra innings on Wednesday during the day. And then Caleb Durbin hits a game-winning sacrifice fly. Just like that, the Brewers are back above 500. It has been a minute. It has been more than 2 weeks since they were above 500. So they're feeling really good. They've won four straight. They have the day off today, Thursday, and then they're going to Philadelphia to play a team that has, I believe, still the best record in baseball. So one of the best teams in baseball for sure. We will see. That's a very different test than the Red Sox. They're kind of the same level as the Brewers right now, kind of 500, a little below, a little above. So we'll see how things go in Philadelphia, but already a pretty good week after they've won, after they swept. First sweep of the year for the Milwaukee Brewers. First time they swept at all this season.
Really nice. And this is apropos of nothing, but there is something magical about baseball because they never seem to age. Christian Yelich looks exactly the same as he did when he started with the Brewers. He does.
I am sure Christian Yelich would tell you otherwise in terms of how he feels.
And
his numbers have been rough this year. Now, that was a really good game for him. They're starting to see some signs. He's very important to this team. And even as one of the elder statesmen in that clubhouse, yes, he looks like, you're absolutely right. He's one of those guys who just looks young.
Doesn't age.
You know, in all years. Yeah, he looks exactly the same like he did when he was an MVP in 2018 and 2019. Didn't win in 2019, but easily could have had he not gotten hurt. He has struggled though with some of the worst numbers of his career, quite honestly, the worst numbers of his career. And already there was some consternation about how his numbers had dropped since he signed this mega contract prior to the 2020 season. So, and he bounced back. He was really good last year before a back issue cost him pretty much half the season. He had back surgery, major back surgery, and he's been really weirdly inconsistent, just really up and down. But now, you know, you see that grand slam. He does have 10 homers, I think, this year. That's good. That's solid for him. So if they can get him back on track, William Contreras, their catcher, another star hitter, if he can get back on track, now maybe we're talking about something like maybe finally the offense is going to get into shape a little bit. It just has not been good enough this year. And quite frankly, I don't think good enough to get into the playoffs. I don't think it's good enough for the whole season. But if those two guys get back on track, get back to being all-star players, it's just very different. It's a very different setup for them. So hopefully, for the Brewers' sake, that's a notch in the right direction to see him hit that walk-off grand slam. Hopefully he can snowball this a little bit.
This time last week, we were talking to Paul Noonan and much different setup for the Brewers, even though, I mean, don't get me wrong, a sweep is great to have. Yelly hitting a walk-off grand slam was amazing. All those things are great, but it doesn't get us away from what you're talking about right now, which is an inconsistency in the team, a poor record compared to previous years. And what I asked Paul, I'll ask you as well, has the shine come off of Pat Murphy? Do the people in the front of the office, because from what was being said is that, you know, he doesn't know how to handle pitchers well. He's using them, abusing them, and we're just not getting those numbers. Because, like, I feel like when the Brewers start, the bats are out and the pitching is quiet. And then somewhere around June, July, everything switches and it becomes a much more defensive game than an offensive game. But they still manage to make their way into the playoffs, even though they get kicked out in the wild card or the first round. But where they're at right now, do you think that there are people in the higher up organization who are saying, well, maybe Pat Murphy isn't the guy that we thought he was last year?
I think I don't think they would have hired him if they weren't really committed to him, because he wasn't the obvious choice when Craig Counsell left. It kind of seemed like he would just go with Craig Counsell, or that he was at least part of the Counsell equation, you know, formerly Craig Counsell's own college coach at Notre Dame. So their commitment to him surprised me initially, but I would say that I don't know how they could necessarily be completely sour on him. The thing you need to know about a manager in baseball is that there just isn't a lot that the manager can do, you know, like that hurts or helps a baseball team. They have a couple jobs. Yes, managing the bullpen is a big deal, knowing which guys to use and when, and sort of following some of the tenets of a plan, which I would say that it's been dicey for Pat Murphy. We've talked a lot about that on my own Brewers podcast, Microbrew podcast for the Milwaukee Sentinel, and how it has really reared its head in recent weeks. Like, okay, it feels like he's making some of the same mistakes, and it is costing them. It is tiring out those premier bullpen arms, and it's becoming an issue. But, you know, like, outside of that and sort of managing the personalities in the clubhouse, which is important, but ultimately not something that I think tangibly impacts what happens on the field, or isn't abundantly clear that it impacts what happens on the field. The manager really is just the face, you know, the face of the organization. And that doesn't necessarily translate to wins or losses. One of the more interesting things, he was manager of the year this past year. Pat Murphy was first Brewers manager to win that award. The previous five guys, none of them are currently manager of their team in the National League. The previous five guys are all gone.
Wow.
Either because they got fired. One guy left of his own accord. But for the most part, we're talking about guys who were not asked to come back within very short order of being manager of the year. In the American League, both the 2022 and the 2023 guy, the 23 guy just got fired by Baltimore, are also gone. So just because they're manager of the year doesn't mean that they're here for the long haul. Whether or not they're a good manager is kind of separate from that. I think Pat Murphy has made a lot of mistakes, but I think a lot of managers do. And I think a lot of it is just trusting gut feel, which certainly will help you, and, you know, like, certainly can come in handy and certainly can betray you at different points. I do think that he is, like, if he gets fired, it won't be because he did something gravely wrong that irreparably harmed the franchise. It'll just be because the roster wasn't good enough and they didn't hit enough or they didn't pitch enough. I don't think that's anything Pat Murphy can necessarily control. And I don't know, front office wise, if they're like, what is Pat Murphy doing? Like, I don't know if they're souring on him. There's no indication of that. They would never give you an indication of that. I think he's certainly here this year, but he's an older manager, you know, like he's further along in his career. I don't know. Would it be shocking to me if he wasn't manager next year? It would not be, but I don't know if that would just be because the Brewers fire him necessarily. It would be more like, you know, they just come to a decision that maybe there's another way to go here, whether it's his call, their call, or whatever.
I would say that, you know, the Brewers, I know that these are my words. No officials or no professionals have backed me up, but I think if the Brewers year after year have put up with Craig Counsell getting them to a certain point in the playoffs, I don't see why the Brewers wouldn't have faith in Pat Murphy to at least go two, if not three seasons, to see where they would go.
Yeah. There is some weird history with the Brewers. Like, Harvey Keene midseason back in 1982 led them to the playoffs, and he was fired very quickly after that because everybody has short memory in baseball. If you don't win right away, and the Brewers are just in this period of time here where, yes, it's the best that they've ever been. They've never had a 10-year window that they just had, but without that success in the playoffs, which is a lot of random. And maybe there is some methodology in there too, but it is a lot of random. But without that success, you start to lose people. Like, okay, another above 500 regular season. So what? Get me to the playoffs, and we'll figure out if this is a winning season or not in the eyes of the fans. You know, nobody's thinking about 2021 and 2023 and 2024 as great seasons because they didn't get out of the first round of the playoffs.
Right.
Even though they were a very good baseball team. So yeah. It's a separate monster, but yes, there is some of that gets baked into when you're talking about who should lead the team, what direction the team should take. It's a little more about just the manager, more about the process and the sort of vision that is shared across the organization that I would say has a bigger role in whether or not there is success. But yeah, it's all kind of one big messy puzzle played out over 162 games where there's a million tiny micro decisions that can have an impact.
That's so funny that you mentioned Harvey Keene. I hadn't thought about him in a long time. I thought he was let go for his egregious use of chew.
Oh, yeah, he was a chewer.
Didn't he always have the whole chipmunk cheek full of chew, Harvey Keene?
Yep. Yeah, and I don't know. Maybe it was gum. I don't know.
Could have been gum. Could have been gum.
I remember when I was a kid, I had a Harvey Keene baseball card that the cops gave us. And after he died, I went to the baseball shop and was like, how much is this worth? He goes, 10 cents. I'm like, ouch. Oh, okay. Well, I'm not investing in this hobby.
J.R. Radcliffe is our guest from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, talking all things sports. Briefly, J.R., the U.S. Women Opens Golf opens up at Erin Hills today, which is in my old high school backyard.
Yes, they are underway. It's a cool thing. Another major golf tournament is here in Wisconsin. This has taken me back to 1998, which is something I remember as a kid when it was at Black Wolf Run, the U.S. Open, the Women's U.S. Open. And quite honestly, it was like one of the just a thrill ride because it was Siri Park, who was a South Korean, 20 years old, newly professional golfer, and Jenny Schwesiraporn, who is an amateur who was attending Duke University at the time. She's from Hawaii. She's a registered nurse today, at least last we checked in with her. And they went toe-to-toe, and there were some crazy putts. Siri Park hit a crazy shot from the water. It was a 20-hole playoff because it was a whole extra round, 18, and then they were tied at the end of that. And so they went two more holes, Park won, and really ignited a whole generation of golfers in South Korea and many other Asian countries too. You see some of the favorites to win. You've got Japan represented, China, Thailand, certainly South Korea. Like that's considered like one of the greatest sporting events in South Korean history.
Because
Park became the face of this whole movement that has impacted golf, a quarter century later. So I always think about that. I always think about Black Wolf Run and that really fun Women's Open and how we're still seeing the reverberations today. Nelly Korda, an American who's going to be I think number one in the world. She'll be among the golfers to watch today, watch over the next 4 days at Erin Hills. But that it's very cool. We've got several reporters out there, and if people are interested, jsonline.com has a live blog running, live coverage. It should be it should be a full 4 days and an eventful occasion.
We're not going to have time, unfortunately, JR, because other than reporting on all the nuts and bolts of all the sports, you also have the opportunity to talk about some lighter, really wonderful stories and sports adjacent stories, including this announcer who gave a tribute to his mother that went viral. We've only got about a minute left if you want to go real quickly.
Yeah. He's a Fargo Moorhead in the Dakotas. He was here for independent league baseball game for the Lake Country Dockhounds in Oconomowoc. And he always calls these home runs, referring to his mother, "Track that down, Marge." That was his home run call since 1996. That's been his home run call. He had a really cool moment against the Dockhounds where a player homered. Marge had just passed away, so it was like the first game without her, and the player who hit the homer had hugged the announcer, commented on it. That whole thing went viral. So you can find that whole story at jsonline.com. I've had a few quirky, fun sports stories this week.
We will include those in our show notes so you don't have to go hunting for them. J.R. Radcliffe joins us every other week to talk all things sports. Thank you so much, J.R. Follow him in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We'll see you in a couple.
Sounds good. See you guys. See you
Stay
soon.
With us when we return. We are going to wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Header for Cheddar Edition. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Calby on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Tomorrow, our last show of May.
No.
Yeah.
What?
May 30th.
Oh, God. Are you...
Tomorrow, May just went whoosh. This whole year has gone whoosh.
And you know what's funny? I almost said, well, there's 31 days. And I'm like, we're not on the radio on Saturday.
No, okay, we are great. Not. Tomorrow. Wow. The last day of May. And we have a busy show coming up tomorrow. Representative Mark Pocan will be joining us after 9:30. Mm-hmm. And then in hour number two, Dan Schaefer, our Civic Media's political editor and also the creator and founder of the Recombobulation Area, will be joining us in hour number two.
If you want a preview of what we're going to be talking about with Dan, I asked him and he just says to me, I'm going to watch the Ron Johnson Press Club interview so you don't have to.
Nice. This is what the burdens that Dan Schaefer takes on.
The award-winning Dan Schaefer.
Multi award winner, yes. Just about 10:54, Calvin, that means it's time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
As always, if you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. JaneSays, janesays@civicmedia.us. My husband found this. He's like, you guys got to do this. You found this. We got to do this. And there is a wonderful video element that we will include.
Yuppers.
So you can check it in the show notes. Go to civicmedia.us. At the very top, it says shows. Click on that and then scroll down to Matt Nair on Air. We have an archive of about 100 shows there. And there is also a special little place that you can click on just for Tisbets, which is what we call This Shouldn't Be a Thing for short.
Yeah, I don't know why I forgot about them. We do them every day. So you have three opportunities.
Look at that.
Even if you're like, hey, I only have like 3-4 minutes.
That's all it takes.
Download a Tisbat.
There you go. Headline, this is from CNN, Don Riddle with the byline. Headline reads, a wheel of cheese, a steep hill, and broken bones. Say hello to the world's most dangerous race. It is a 200-yard dash after a wheel of double Gloucester cheese. This can be yours. All you have to do is chase down the cheese down a grassy hill and cross the finish line before anybody else does. However, there's a couple caveats here. This is one really, really steep hill.
And it's not just like a smooth hill either.
Not like a beautiful golf course if it had a big, beautiful hill on it. No, this is a bumpy, looks like rocky hill. And people throw themselves down this hill to win a round of cheese.
So you know how, as Americans, there's a sense of inferiority we can feel because European countries and
they're older.
They look down our nose and tut 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 us for our craziness and our love for the meats and cheeses and all those things. They think of us, oh, that scamp of a U.S. They're crazy teenagers. They are no longer allowed to judge us based just on this contest.
Because of this?
Where they literally defenestrate themselves down a hill for what? Not a prize money.
No.
Not a new car.
No.
Just a wheel of cheese.
A wheel of cheese. And again, we will include the video so you can take a look at this. People have broken bones, broken ankles, all kinds of things.
And they're falling down the hill exactly how you would think. Like I'm sure you think to yourself, oh, I would just slide down the hill. No. Or I would, ride on my tush like you're riding a sleigh. No, these people are like
tumbling.
Hollywood tumbling stuntman down the hill.
Calvin, I believe we have a clip from this year's winner. The 200-yard dash after a wheel of double Gloucester cheese. Can we hear that clip, please?
This year was crazy. This year was different. Last year, the hill was muddy and safe. And this year, as you can see, it was dry and dangerous and people got injured. I just shut off my brain and then went for it.
And you were saying back to back, you were pretty pleased at the finish there. What does it feel like to have done it again?
Yeah, I got to tell you, all the people there at the top set, they're going to steal my title. but this is mine. I work for this. I risk my life for this. It's my cheese.
It's my cheese.
That's how much I love that interview. I asked Calvin, Calvin, do you have the actual hot button available? Okay. I love this interview so much because it just comes down to one simple phrase. It's my cheese. Are we sure this isn't an American?
This is no, this has been, this is a long, long standing race in England. And my husband told me, because my husband is English, he said this actually does happen in several different cities around England. The chasing of the cheese. The chasing of the cheese.
The chasing of the cheeses.
I just love what the winner said is, I just shut off my brain.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of the significant part in this, if you ever intend to do this race. Shutting off of the brain is where you want to start.
Do you think people may take, like, pain-killing drugs beforehand or after immediately so that way the next 2 to 3 days aren't just the worst moment of your life?
There isn't enough Excedrin in the world that would protect you from this hill that they throw themselves down.
How about some ivermectin, James?
Well, now that's there good for go. Everything. That wraps up today's episode of...
It's my cheese.
This shouldn't be a thing.
And thanks again to Todd Michaels for voicing the intro and outro for This Shouldn't Be a Thing. We love him for that.
That voice.
That voice is like nothing else. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here. News coming up next. Tom Hartman, then 11 to 2. Todd Alba, 2 to 4. Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.